Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. We go into prayer and we ask prayer requests and things. One Sunday in a Midwest city, it doesn't matter where, a young child was acting up during the morning worship hour. The parents did their best to maintain some sense of order, but were losing the battle. Finally, the father picked the little child up, walked sternly up the aisle on his way out. Just before they left the auditorium and entered the safety of the foyer, the little child called out loudly, "Pray for me! Pray for me!"
I like that one. That is good.
Let's see. During the minister's prayer one Sunday, there was a loud whistle from one of the back pews. Gary's mother was horrified. She pinched him into silence. Boy, my mother used to pinch him. Just get in there on that meat and press that leg. And after church, the mother asked Gary, "Whatever made you do such a thing?" Gary answered soberly, "I asked God to teach me to whistle, and he did it just then." this is great. One night, Mike's parents overheard his prayer. Parents listen in our prayers a lot. "Now I lay me down to rest and hope to pass tomorrow's test. If I should die before I wake, that's one less test I have to take." A five-year-old said grace at the family dinner one night. "Dear God, thank you for these pancakes. Amen." When he concluded, his parents asked him why he thanked God for pancakes when they were having chicken. He smiled and said, I thought I'd just see if he was listening. The little boy prayed, Dear God, please take care of my daddy, my mommy, my sister, my brother, my doggie, and me. And please take care of yourself, God. If anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess. Okay. Let's give some of y'all some ideas on the prayer. Let's talk about prayer. Jerry, how'd the service go for Uncle Dale?
Very
good. Wow, very good.
They weren't sure. The preacher wasn't sure if he was saved or not.
But he gave the gospel in the service. Very good. All right. Good. Any event or anything happen? Good. Okay. That you're able to tell in church? Okay. We were in prayer for the service. Let's see. We need to continue to be in prayer for Tish. Need to be in prayer for Kit's sister Molly and niece. Need to be in prayer for Nathan. And need to be in prayer. Well, I guess Brian and Larry are pretty good now. And any other prayer requests?
The Johnsons
and Tucson. They need our prayers. It's another couple in Tucson. Well, another guy in Tucson need our prayers, and that's John. John Hinn, so we need to be in prayer for him. Just be in prayer for him. He can always use prayer. And
I have another one.
Yes.
Talking to Gerald Weber, and he asked me to put Christy McDermott.
Christy McDermott.
Christy McDermott.
That's just a medical issue. Okay, so we need to know. God knows our problem. So we'll just be in prayer for Christy. Okay. Let's see, any other prayer requests we have? Okay.
I was thinking about, Mother fell. So, I mean, she was climbing on a chair, and she fell. I think you're climbing days are over.
Well, yeah, and that was she said?
Yeah.
She said, I love her attitude. She said, well, my climbing days are over. But it could have been serious.
Yeah,
so I'm glad God just used it as
a
warning.
I just talked to her 30 minutes ago. And she said she was sore from everything, but
she's still sore.
Very thankful that nothing was broken.
Wow. That's Christine, so we need to be in prayer for her. Okay, any other prayer requests? All right. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for our study tonight in prayer. Heavenly Father, we present these names and circumstances to you. We're in prayer for each other as we walk in the Spirit and the spiritual warfare that we're involved in. Pray that you will consider each one according to your wisdom and your grace, your plan. We thank you, Heavenly Father, when prayers are answered. And now, Father, we move into Revelation 20. We're given so much information in this book that otherwise we would not have. There is no book on earth that covers these matters in the manner in which the Bible does. We know we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit to understand these things in truth. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes and our ears to the things you would have us to see and hear. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We are dealing in Revelation 20, verses 5 and 6, that deal with the two resurrections, the second death. So that took us to a brief look at the resurrection. And Roman numeral 1 was that there are two returns from the dead, resuscitation and resurrection. Then secondly, which we've already studied, talked about death and the sovereignty of God. Death and the sovereignty of God, death and the wisdom of God, both of those combined. Then Roman numeral 3, physical death as a prerequisite for resurrection. Physical death as a prerequisite for the resurrection. And we just got into Roman numeral 4, two classifications of resurrection. Two classifications of resurrection. The first resurrection and the second resurrection. Revelation 20, 5 and 6. Let's just open there and kind of look at it to refresh us of where we are. Verse 5, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will return with him for 1,000 years. What did I say? Will we reign with him? I don't know why it's a return. We'll reign with him for 1,000 years. Okay, we have two resurrections. The first resurrection, called the resurrection of life. Second resurrection, called the resurrection to judgment. And so, let's take a look tonight now. Under point one, the first resurrection is divided into four parts. So we're going to look at the first resurrection, four parts. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Remember, the 1 Corinthians has so much about the resurrection. So much. And I hate to use the word full gospel, because that's a charismatic title, but it gives the full range of the good news of what God has done. Doesn't necessarily mean that one must believe each and every one of these things, but it gives the full range of them. But all I want to do is look at verses 20 through 24 in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, and by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order. So we're looking at the orders of the first resurrection, the order of the first resurrection. Christ the first fruit. After that, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule, all authority, and all power. Okay, so let's take a look now at the order of the first resurrection. First, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 20 in the passage we just read. This resurrection has already taken place. It gives us the confidence to know he is resurrected, promised us resurrection. He is able to fulfill it because he himself has been resurrected. What good are the words of a dead Savior? If he can't restore himself, can't resurrect himself, we'd have no hope. So, this resurrection has already taken place. After he was in the grave 3 days, 3 nights, recorded in the four Gospels, and in Acts 2, 31-34. We'll not take time tonight to read those, but those are the passages. Second resurrection of all believers in Jesus Christ. This is the resurrection of the body of Christ. You and I will be in this resurrection if the rapture doesn't occur during our lifetime. Okay, this is the Gospel of John 14, 1 through 3. Well, we're familiar with that. But let's look at Philippians 3 a moment. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, and we want to look at 20 and 21. Philippians 3, 20. Good evening, Lila. We're in Philippians 3, 20, and we're looking at the second order of the first resurrection. First will be Jesus Christ, and that's already occurred. Second order, resurrection of believers in the church age. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. So He will raise us from the dead. You can also look at 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57, which we've read, so we'll forego that right now. But let's do turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13. I'm going to ask y'all to pray in prayer for my voice. It just seems to wear out after I holler at my wife all day. I don't know what it is. But it just... So, I don't know what's happening to it. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's start reading at verse 13. But we do not want you uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, believers who have died before us. And we would be concerned about them. We'd have a lot of questions. And we'd come up with all the goofy answers that the unbeliever comes up with. About those who are asleep, that you may not grieve, as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, and it should be since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, the bodies asleep in the grave. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, with the authority of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, Paul was looking forward at his time, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. And as I told you, these words were meant to comfort, and what do? We fight over it. When is it going to occur? Pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, all of these kind of things. We argue rather than comfort. These are very comforting words to when someone, a believer, has died. These are very comforting and wonderful things to know. And if we trust Him, we believe Him, what He says here, that's a wonderful confidence. That's a wonderful hope. Confidence that we have that He's going to do those things. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter... Well, this time we will look at chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And this time that we've read 20 through 24, this time we'll take a look. Well, I had it twice in my notes. I have a way of doing my notes. If verses are black, we don't read them. I just tell you about them. If they're in red, we read them. So I put 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57 in black. And then at the end, I put it in red. So I guess I couldn't make up my mind whether we need to read it or not. So 1 Corinthians 15, 51. 15, 51. Well, I tell you, the computer age just makes note-taking so fantastic. You can put stuff back in there. When I used to type up all my notes, it was such a pain. I'd be through with the notes and have them all typed up. And I'd be out at the pool sunbathing or doing something else. And I'd go, oh, man, that's great. And I have come back. Wait, you can't use the computer. So what I would do is I'd 1, 2, and then I'd scratch out 3, make that 4, turn it over and type 3, point 3 on the back of it. And all kinds of stuff like that. Okay, you should have found 1 Corinthians 15 by now. Let's read 51. 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Now, the mystery is the resurrection. The mystery here is the resurrection of the church. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, we're not all going to die. Our body's put in the ground. We're all going to be changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. The last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, this mortal must put on immortality. So he explains not only the resurrection, but why. I mean, God is just so wonderful to us to give us this, all this wonderful information. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. Sin brought about the death. Total depravity that we're studying on Sunday morning. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? 3. So we're looking at the various orders of the resurrection. First resurrection, Jesus Christ. Second order of this first resurrection, all believers of the church age. And now 3. Resurrection of Old Testament believers. Tribulational martyrs at the end of the second advent. Excuse me, at the end of the tribulation at the second advent. Okay, let's start off with Daniel 12. Daniel 12, verse 13. So let's go look at Daniel 12, verse 13. What I want to do when we're finished with Revelation is to take some books like Ephesians, Philippians, and just read through them. Just make it a go. We'll do a chapter a night or so many verses a night. But I think first thing we need to do is just make a run through Daniel, doing the same thing. Not spend a great deal of time, but just go through Daniel. But let's look at Daniel 12, verse 13. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. Now remember that they don't think in terms of the church age. And that the 7 years tribulation completes the period of Israel. So the end of the age to them is just go from Daniel and the Messiah comes, and then the kingdom, the tribulation and the kingdom. They don't even really know about the tribulation, but they do have some idea about it. And then all of this will happen. And that's what they have in mind. Let's look at Isaiah 26. These are good verses for you to have. Isaiah 26. And we're going to look at verses 19 and 20. Isaiah 26, 19 and 20. For thus says the Lord God, when I shall make you a desolate city, like the cities which are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep over you, and the great waters will cover you, then I shall... We are reading Isaiah. Well, y'all don't like Ezekiel? My goodness, I don't understand why y'all don't like Ezekiel. All right, let's go to Isaiah. I'm sorry. No, I'm just reading Ezekiel. Isaiah 26. I'm like that little boy who was praying. I just want to see if y'all were listening. Prayed for the pancakes. I just want to see if he was listening. I just want to see if y'all were listening. Isaiah 26. This may sound a little better. Verse 19 and 20. Your dead will live. That's just so beautiful. When we think about people we love dying, it isn't that difficult. Your dead will live. Their corpse will rise. It's a corpse arise, not the spirit, the human spirit, the human soul. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. So when they come up, we shout for joy. Great genuflex, great rejoicing. Right after the resurrection. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. Come, my people, enter into your rooms, close your doors behind you, hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. That's the tribulational period. Okay, let's go to the New Testament, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and we'll look at verse 31. Matthew 24, 31. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Okay, let's look at Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 14. And you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Okay. Now, I want to note a few things while we're at note this passage, our study. The resurrection of righteousness. Note the context. However, even though it's dealing with the resurrection of the righteous, don't you know the context is related to living when we're alive? Look at verse 13. Verse 13. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Now, there are two levels here. One is the physical level, the other is the spiritual. You're going to have friends who are crippled, poor in spirit, crippled in their spiritual walk, lame, even blind. And you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. You invite someone poor, they don't have the means to pay you back. Don't worry about it. You're going to be blessed at the resurrection. You're going to be repaid. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now, I just want to pause here. No, and you will be blessed. Talking about the resurrection of the righteous, look with me at Revelation 20. Okay, let's look at Revelation 20. I want to show you something. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed those who have part in the first resurrection. Here's just one of those blessings. There's one of the blessings. Okay? Let's see. Let's look at Luke 20. Luke 20. Now this one's tough. We're not going to get bogged down in the problems of it, but this one's tough. In Luke 20, there are several groups, you know this. You have the Pharisees and the Sadducees, two different sets of people in the Jews at this time. Now, the Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection. So they try to show how ridiculous the resurrection is and all the problems that the resurrection would bring about. And so here they go, they bring up a man who's married, the man dies, his brother takes his wife for his bride, which was what they did. Now, if there is a resurrection, which one is he going to be with in the resurrection? So they think they've got him trapped. Which one will he be with? Will she be with in the resurrection? Okay, you got the context. Now, let's look at verse 34. And Jesus said to them, the sons of this age marry, that's the males, and are given in marriage, that's the females. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection from the dead. Okay, how are they worthy? Faith in the coming Messiah. Faith in the coming Messiah. Now, to those right there in his generation, to those who have faith in him. But throughout all the age of Israel, those who believe in Jesus Christ. They neither marry, nor, that's the males, nor given in marriage after the resurrection. Therefore, no problem. Verse 36. For neither can they die anymore. No death after the resurrection. For they are like angels and sons of God by faith in the Messiah, being sons of the resurrection. So, your question is mute. It doesn't matter. There's no answer to your question because there is no giving in marriage in the resurrected state. But what is important in our study is that they are called the resurrection from the dead. So this is what we're dealing with in the study. Okay? So this deals, the resurrection just, it doesn't bring about problems. It solves so many problems. What if somebody commits suicide? What if they live a horrible life? What all these different things. The resurrection solves it all. Everyone is resurrected. Every believer is resurrected. So, it doesn't matter. Okay, let's go to the Gospel of John 5. Gospel of John, chapter 5. And we want to look at 28 and 29. Chapter 5, 28-29. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who did the good, now what's the good? Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the Messiah. Worthy, faith, good, the good, that's faith in Jesus Christ. To a resurrection of life. Those who committed the evil, what would the evil do? Be rejection. Rejection of Christ. The evil, you'll notice deeds is in italics, it's not in the original. But so committed the evil is to reject Christ as Savior. To a resurrection of judgment. So this is a resurrection to life and a resurrection of judgment. Now I want you to look at Acts with me. Acts 24. I did the book of Acts in our survey study, but I'm sorry I never really studied it when I first started the ministry. Acts is properly titled. It's just Acts of the first century. And it puts, you can go to where Paul wrote this, look back at Acts and see what was happening. Take a book in the New Testament and to the church, and you can go to Acts and find out where it was and what was going on. So it just deals with the Acts. For an example, a study on water baptism. You study the book of Acts, and you'll find out that after toward the middle of Acts, all the rest of the time, it's not even mentioned. It wasn't done anymore. And just so many things. You don't want to build, Dr. Pentecost taught us this in seminary, you don't want to build doctrine out of the book of Acts. It's just Acts. So you want to be very careful when you build doctrine out of the book of Acts. But right now we want to look at Acts 24, and we want to look at verses 14 and 15. Acts 24, 14. But this I admit to you, that according to the way, okay, that was something that the Christians were called, living the way, which they call a sect. I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law. This is the third part of the law that deals with the gospel. And that is written in the prophets. Having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked, the believers and the unbelievers. Wicked are the unbelievers. That's the second resurrection. First resurrection, which we're looking at, deals with believers. Second resurrection deals with unbelievers. It's the resurrection of the wicked. Let's look at Acts 26. Acts 26, and we're going to look at 6 through 8. Acts 26, 6 through 8. And now I am standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. Now the trial is that he's being brought before the Roman tribunal, Roman rulers, and they've accused these Christians. So, and I'm now standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers, namely Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The promise to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly serve God night and day, and for the hope, O King, I am being accused by Jews. Why is it considered incredible among you people if God does raise the dead? The Romans, this is very unbelievable. And the Jewish said that this is unbelievable to the Sadducees. So Sadducees, Jews, are attacking these Jews who believe in the resurrection. Let's look at Daniel 12. Daniel 12. We've looked at Daniel 12:13, but let's go look at Daniel 12 for another passage. Daniel 12, verse 2. Daniel 12, 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, will awake. They're these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. So we've had the second resurrection referred to the resurrection of the wicked. Here we have it to disgrace, because they're not going to be in heaven, not going to be with the Lord. So many of these who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to an everlasting life, then he deals with the rest of those who would not be in that resurrection. The others will be resurrected to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Okay, and of course the discussion between Jesus Christ and Martha cannot be omitted from this study. So let's look at the Gospel of John 11. Gospel of John 11. So many like to pick on Martha because of her remarks. And when Jesus Christ was teaching, Mary sat at the feet, and Martha came in and said, "Why isn't she helping me in the kitchen?" And boy, they really run her wild on that. But I think none of us are perfect in everything. But here, she's the one that shines. Mary's at home, weeping and feeling sorry for herself. Martha goes out to meet the Lord. So let's read from verse 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 17. So when Jesus came, now remember Lazarus has died. That's the brother of Mary and Martha. So when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had already been in the tomb 4 days. So his body is starting to decompose. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. And that's what a friend does. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. So this time, it's not Mary who runs, it's Martha. But Mary still sat in the house. Martha, therefore, coming up to Jesus, said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So she believes that he could do something, but he had to be there. And we studied this under the crisis of faith. So this is, she believes he could have saved her brother, but he had to be there to do it. But before we get too hard on her, look at the very next verse. Even now, even though he's been dead 4 days, whatever you ask of God, God will give you. That's faith. If you tell him to come out, he'll come out. You bring him back to life, he'll come back to life. You can do that. So this is great faith on Martha's part in trusting him. Verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." Okay. Martha said to him, "I know that. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Now, the last day, Martha doesn't know about the church age. So, but she has in mind the end of the present age prior to the return of the Messiah, the establishment of the kingdom, and the setting up of the throne of David. So, this is what she has in mind. So, now let's continue on. Martha said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And it's just, she knew it, she believed it, it's reality to her. This is a wonderful conversation between the Lord and this woman. I'm amazed every time I study it. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Anointed, the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." So, this is just another great confidence and joy we have in the resurrection, people. It's just powerful. Okay, let's look at Revelation 20, verse 4. Revelation 20, Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony, the witness of Jesus Christ, and because of the word of God, the gospel, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And again, I just remind you, this is the only chapter in all the Bible where we have that the millennium, that he will reign for 1,000 years. Okay, so we have Jesus Christ, the order of the first resurrection, Jesus Christ, believers of the church, Old Testament believers, and tribulational saints, and now the fourth order in the order, resurrection of the millennial saints at the end of the millennium. At the end of the millennium. Revelation 20, 4 through 6. Okay, that brings us to the second resurrection. We've had the first resurrection, the second resurrection. This is the resurrection of all unbelievers, lumped together. Old Testament, New Testament. After the resurrection, all unbelievers are judged, and that will be in chapter 20, judgment seat of Christ. Excuse me, the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment, chapter 20, and then we'll be cast into the lake of fire. Let's look at just a few passages here. Let's look at Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Matthew 25:41. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. It's be at the great white throne judgment. Let's look at the Gospel of John 5. Gospel of John 5. Verse 29. 5:29. Verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who did the good, faith in Jesus Christ, to a resurrection of life, eternal life. Those who committed the evil, rejection of Christ, a resurrection of judgment. Revelation 20, verses 5 to 15, which we will spend time on, so we'll not read it, but just have it in your notes, the second resurrection. Revelation 20, 5 through 15. Point 3, there are two resurrections, there are two directions. Subpoint 1, the direction for the first resurrection, eternal life with God. Point 2, the direction for the second resurrection, eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Four, the difference between the two resurrections is one's attitude toward Jesus Christ. John 3:36. The difference between the two is one's attitude toward Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John 3:36. Let me just read 3:36 to you. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not believe, does not obey, which is to believe, he just pointed that out, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. See, eternal life, don't be misled. Unbelievers will have eternal life in the sense of existence. It's just ours is called eternal life, living with God. Theirs is called eternal death. No activity of life. So, point four, the difference between the two resurrections is one attitude toward Jesus Christ, Gospel of John 3:36. As long as anyone is alive, he has an opportunity of entering into the first resurrection simply by believing in Jesus Christ as Savior. And five, until Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried, there could be no resurrection. The first resurrection in history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day. Okay, there's much more that we could cover on death, but I think that's adequate for where we are right now in our study. Let's look at Revelation 25. 20 verse 5. The rest of the dead, okay, how did they die? The rest of the dead, how did they die? That's what we're studying on Sunday morning, the death of total depravity, and Genesis 2:17, dying you shall die. This is the first death. This refers to those who have not been born again or born from above. So they remain in their state of death. Life is found only in faith in Jesus Christ, and these have refused to believe in Jesus Christ through their life, and therefore, this refers to unbelievers, refers to those who did not come to life here in the second advent of Jesus Christ, and who have, they're going to have to wait 1,000 years before their resurrection, the second resurrection. All right, and the rest of the dead did not come to life, did not receive resurrection. That's what it's talking about. Did not come to resurrection. Until the 1,000 years were completed. That is the end of the millennium. This is the completion of the first resurrection, which we studied, occurring in four groups. So the first resurrection is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, resurrection of the church age, resurrection of the Old Testament. First resurrection, resurrection of the just. Of the just. I don't know if we've looked, but let's look at Luke 14:14 very quickly. Luke 14, verse 14. Don't know if we've read that. And you will be blessed since they did not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous, resurrection of the just, resurrection of those who are in Christ. You'll be blessed. We're going to be blessed in that resurrection, people. It's going to be phenomenal, this resurrection that we're going to enjoy. Acts 24:15. I think we did read that. And let's see if we look at Acts 24:15. Yes, we read Acts 24:15. And the resurrection of life, John 5:29. We looked at that. And Daniel 12:2. And we looked at that. And now we learn five things about those who will participate in the first resurrection. Five things about them. One, blessed. Two, holy. Three, over these the second death has no power. We never have to give thought to the second death. Second death for those who have rejected Christ. Those who have believed in Christ do not have any concern about the second death. Okay, we'll stop right here because I want to deal with the first and second death. The name or the phrase first death does not occur in the Bible, so we're going to have to look at the second death and the first death. So we'll start it here. Any questions over death and resurrection? Okay? Let's close in a word of prayer. You know, going over these things sometime just is so comforting to our souls when someone that we do love dies. Just comforts, encourages, and gives us a good attitude, and a wonderful attitude about it. I always love Tish's attitude. She's put it in her will. She's afraid that everyone's going to have too much fun at her death, at the funeral service and all. So she's put it in that everyone must mourn for 6 months before they get anything from her will. And so she's taking this kind of serious. And so, okay, let's close in prayer. What an awesome God you are, Father, to give us all this information. It's just to answer all the questions we have about death. We have no fear of it, no uncertainty of it. It's all taken care of. It's in your plans, in your hands when we die, how we die. It's all in your hands. We know what happens when we die, the moment we die. We know what happens to this old body we carry around. Know what happens to our soul and spirit. We know and have confidence of the resurrection. We know what's going to happen at the resurrection. We know what's going to happen after the resurrection. Father, you've just given us a whole lot of information on something that affects every one of us one time or another in our life. Our parents die. Our children die. Our friends die. Our husband or wife die. You've just given us such peace at a difficult time. And we just go over these things, read these verses, and we get through, we can only smile. We can only rejoice. Father, we praise you for the God you are, that you know how sensitive our souls are to these things. Knowing these things, believing these things, gives us comfort. We sorrow, but not as the world, because of what you've given us. Pray these things will seep deep into our souls and start bearing the fruit in our lives, that we can share these things with others who are going through difficult times, having stabilized ourselves in this trust, we can give stability to others, hope to others. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.